right. Good morning, LifePoint Church. It's good to see you all. So very thankful that you're here with us this morning and you chose LifePoint Church to be your place of worship. So today, what we're going to do is, so my original plan for this week, we're not doing a starting a series or anything like that, just kind of a standalone week. And my goal was to talk with you all about being on mission as the church. Many of you have been here for a while now, and I don't know if you realize this, but last week, last Sunday, was kind of our two-year anniversary of First Alliance Church and LifePoint Church merging together. So 2 years, it's right, exactly. It made me feel the same way. I'm like, no way, it's been 2 years. But yeah. And the reason that these two incredible churches came together to form this one was to reach more people, to be on mission, to do things better together than apart. So one thing I thought was like, well, let's talk about mission, right? Let's talk about what it really means to be the church. And we're going to do that, and we're going to get there. But the journey to get to that point and some of the foundation behind where my heart is on this topic is taking a little different turn this week. To be completely honest with you, and I try to be transparent and as real as possible, I've had a very difficult and emotional week. There's been a lot of chaotic things that took place and frustrating things, and that's just life, right? You know, we all have that. It doesn't matter what you do, you have those things that you're just like, oh, do I really have to deal with this? But you have to go through it. But this week specifically was very emotionally and mentally and spiritually challenging for me, because on Tuesday evening when I was scrolling through my social media, I found out that a pastor that I follow, that I followed for like 4 or 5 years, took his own life on Monday night. And I didn't know him personally, but like I said, I followed him on social quite a bit. And he was very an outspoken advocate for those struggling with mental health. And if you've known me, that's very near and dear to my heart. I've spent 12 and a half years as a director of a psychiatric residential treatment facility for kids. And I've experienced pretty much everything you can think of. We always said, you know, well, if there's something that surprises us, it's going to be really rough because we've seen it all. And so it was very near and dear to my heart what he was advocating for. And he was very upfront and honest about his own personal struggles with mental health and with suicidal thoughts. And that's why he dedicated his entire life's work and ministry to reaching people with the gospel, but also being the voice for those within the church that were too afraid to step out and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm struggling with. Because there's a stigma associated with that. And we can all sit there and say, no, there is. And you know it and I know it. There's a stigma associated with mental health in our culture, in our world today. And I still can't, to be honest, I'm completely heartbroken. I don't understand. I have so many questions. I have so many feelings and emotions, and then my own struggles with some of my mental health. I'm not diagnosed, but we can diagnose me right now if y'all want with OCD, and my mental thought process and patterns just start going crazy. And it's just been a very emotional and challenging week for me to kind of piece all this together, because it's just, like I said, I don't even know what to say. I don't know where to go with that and what to do with that, because it's heartbreaking. I can't imagine someone who is day in and day out advocating for people's own mental health, trying to be that voice, and then what happened? Like, at what point did that turn for him in that moment? And I really, really struggled with it. And it's, like I said, it's heartbreaking, because that is the reality that we live in today. There are people all around us that you don't know what hell they're dealing with inside their own mind and in their own body. And they put on the mask, because we're all taught to do that. We're taught to put on the mask and play the game. And we live in a world that's broken, that's hurting. And honestly, they're hopeless. And again, this is our reality. And we can just sit back all we want on our high horse and judge and make assumptions and shame and do all those things that we're good at. But again, we don't really know what people are fighting and what they're dealing with and what's going on the inside, only to the extent that they allow us in and they allow you in. And that's a scary thing. In a group this size, I can guarantee that there are people in here that have either struggled with or are currently struggling with some type of mental health issue, depression, anxiety, anger, fear that is just welling up inside of them. And if not, you know someone that is. And it's our reality. And so we have to figure out what we're going to do about it. You know, what are we going to do about it? In a world right now where almost 800,000 people complete suicide every year. I don't know if you heard that. 800,000 people. 800,000 lives. The question becomes, as the church, what are we going to do about that? As a follower of Jesus, if you claim to know Christ, as a follower of Jesus, what are you going to do about that? Because we are all called and have a specific mission. We have a purpose that God has designed us for. And it is your responsibility to fulfill that purpose. And not everyone's purpose is to go to be the champion for mental health. I'm not saying that, so please don't hear that. But what I'm saying is you are called to be the church. You are called to make a difference. And it takes each and every one of us doing our part, being on mission, being the church, to really make the impact and the difference in our world that is so desperately needed. So again, the question is, as the church, what are we going to do about it? Like I said, we can just sit back and ignore it, or we can do something. We can stay silent and just tell someone, hey, you know what? That depression stuff, that anxiety stuff, it's just all in your head. Just get over it. It's not real. So just move on. Go work out. Yes, that may help. But we have to be willing to get real with each other. You all hear me say this all the time. Life is messy. Incredibly messy. Because as humans, we're flawed. Our world is flawed. And it's messy. But the beautiful thing is that we can be the hopeful. Not because of anything that we do, but because we have Jesus. Because we have the ultimate hope. We know Christ. And again, that doesn't always change everything, but together, when we are united and we are operating on mission and together, and when we're doing life together, man, we are so much stronger. We can make more of a difference in the world, and we can make more of a difference within this room. Being on mission is truly about going and reaching those who don't know Christ, creating an environment here where people can come and be introduced to Christ in a safe and loving and real way. But we are never going to get to that point if we are not really doing life together and being honest and open with each other and being real with each other. If you don't feel comfortable enough to say, hey, I'm feeling like this. I have thoughts of harming myself. Or I am so depressed that I can't even get out of bed, but I come in here every Sunday. It takes me 5 hours to start and get out of bed and drag myself out and think that it's okay. And I smile and I act like everything, but that's not really what's going on inside. If you don't feel comfortable enough to say that to somebody here, then we are failing. If we can't do that as a church family and support each other and lift each other up in that, how are we going to support anyone else that walks in this door? We've got to be the church. And it takes each and every one of us being on mission. Because there's too much at stake. There's too much at stake for each and every one of us individually, but there's so much at stake outside of these walls. And we have to be on mission. We've got to be the church. Not the church that that we think the church is supposed to be, or that we see, or that we want to emulate, but really the church that God designed, the church that he created us to be, his original intent for the body of Christ, the gathering. That's what we have to become, and that's what we have to be, and that's what we have to sell out to the mission. Because we know Christ, and he's radically changed us. So we therefore, we have to be together, encourage each other, lift each other up, iron sharpening iron, and then we have to go outside these walls and be the church. It's too critical. It's too important for us just to be playing around. Sure, you can come in, you can put on your mask, you can say hi, you can check it off your good Christian list, go through all the motions, and then leave and not make an impact. But the world's had enough of that. People who don't know Christ are sick of that. Real people in the church that really want to make a difference are sick of that. And I hope that you are as well. We can't just play games because we're in a war. And we've got to be on mission. And to be on mission, there are some things that we see in Scripture that we have to do and that we have to be about. And my hope and my prayer is that each of you individually, and therefore all of us collectively, will be that and will do that. And as the pastor of this church, and I could say that that the leaders as well would get behind this, that we are committed to doing this as well. And we have to get uncomfortable. We have to be willing to be a little bit of risk takers. Because, man, nothing really is going to be transformational if you're not taking a risk, if you're not getting out there. So a few things that we're going to talk about. We're going to check out three things that as Life Point Church we will be and we will do. And I'll go ahead and say, some of you all have heard this before, but we're going to continue to preach this, and we're going to go through this, and we're going to hit this over and over again so that we can be reminded to stay on mission. Because I understand, I mean, I've been in the church, I'm 36 years old, I think. Am I 36? Yeah, I'm 36 years old. And I've been in the church for 36 years. And so I've seen how good intended people with great intentions, believers, Christ followers, can get sidetracked by going through the motions, can get off mission thinking that they're doing the right thing when in reality they are so far off base it's not even funny. Then it leads to destruction, and it leads to pushing people away from Christ. And we cannot let that happen. We cannot be that church, and we cannot be those people. So three things that we're going to look at, and we're going to back it with Scripture, that as Life Point Church, we will be and we will do in order to live out the mission and vision of the church. The mission and vision, not that we have, but that God created it to be. God's mission, God's vision for the church, so that we can actually be the hope for the hopeless. So the first thing that we see is that it's real simple, is that we will be all things to all people. We will be all things to all people. And I say it's really simple, but that's kind of a joke because it's not, especially if you've been in the church for a long time. Because the longer that you kind of huddle and sit, you start to lose sight of what's really going on outside of these walls. What's really going on outside of the Christian community. How desperate it is. How challenging it is. You lose sight of that. But if we're really going to make a difference, if we're really going to be the church, we have to be all things to all people. As a church, we have to be willing to err on the side of taking a risk. as opposed to erring on the side of being cautious. And that can be terrifying for some of you all. But we have to. I heard another pastor once say that at their church, they will do anything short of sin to reach someone with the gospel. Anything short of sin. Shoot, I'm willing to toe the line if I need to. Because I want to reach people with the good news of Jesus. I want people that feel so desperate and lost and hopeless to know that there is hope. And that God loves them and made a way for them to be made right. They don't have to walk alone. They don't have to go through whatever they're dealing with. Yes, mental health is a crisis in our community and in our world today. It is a crisis, but that's one of many issues that we see and that we're fighting. There's mental health, there's extreme racism, there's all kinds of political jockeying all the time where no one can freaking get along at all. It's impossible. There's an opioid epidemic that is running rampant and is destroying families, destroying lives. You want to know why there's 10,000 plus kids in care just in Kentucky alone? That has a big part to play in it. There's a lot that's going on in our world. And they need Jesus. They need to know there's hope. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to sit in here in our nice comfy chairs and pat each other on the back and shake hands and smile and go through our checklist and feel good about ourselves? Are we going to get out there and make a difference? Are we going to make a difference in the lives of the people that are in here that might be struggling with substances? That might be struggling with depression and anxiety? Not probably, there are, I know. Are we going to make a difference in here so that we can then make a difference out there? Or are we just going to go through the motions? We've got to make a difference. And so we're going to be willing to take risks. And we're going to be all things to all people. We're going to be the hope to the hopeless. We have to. That is our mission. That is our calling. That's what we're created to do. It's also incredibly biblical, just in case you're wondering. It is. Check out what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 19. He said, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some." We have to get uncomfortable. It is not the most comfortable thing ever to go out and do life with people that are totally opposite of you, that have different life experiences than you. To go out and love who may be labeled the unlovable. To step into someone's life when they're dealing with something that you have no experience with, that scares the crap out of you, that you don't know what to say or what to do, but to say, you know what? They need me, and God has created me to be a light and to make an impact and to provide hope, so I'm going to trust him and step into it. And you may think as one that has worked in the mental health field for a long time and someone that has training in Bible college and as a pastor that I can walk into any situation and feel comfortable, that is far from the truth. There's so many times that I'm driving to meet with someone and I'm like, I have no idea what to say or what to do. I don't. This is terrifying. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I screw up? What if I stick my foot in my mouth and I make it really awkward and uncomfortable and they hate me and blah, 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 and all that stuff can start running. But the reality is I got to be willing to take a risk to go love someone that needs it. Someone that's hurting. Someone that doesn't know Jesus. Someone that does know Jesus. We have to be willing to be all things to all people. Step into uncomfortable space. Step into unpopular space. Step into taboo space. I think about, I wasn't planning on saying this, but he's sitting right in front of me, which still weirds me out, but I think about Chris Wiggum, who had a theology pub. Many people would look down on that. But I can tell you, I've heard story after story after story about people that he's talked to about Jesus sitting on a bar stool and made an impact in their life. Some people would freak out of that. Some people would say, you can't do that. But what I say is you have to do that. We're called to do that. There's a reason that people call Jesus a drunkard, a friend of sinners, friend of prostitutes. It wasn't because he avoided them. It's because he was with them, in their space, loving them. It's the sick who need a doctor, not the well, not the healthy, not the ones who think they're healthy and don't want your help. We got to love them too, just differently. But we've got to be willing to take some risks, some calculated risks. Now, if you have history with alcoholism, don't start Theology Pub, please. I'm not saying that. But we've got to be all things to all people. That's what being the church is about. The second thing that the church that God created us to be, as the church that God created us to be, the second thing that we have to do and understand is that we will accomplish more together than apart. We will accomplish more together than alone, than apart. We need each other. We desperately need each other. And when I say that, I'm talking about in this room, we need each other. But I'm also saying outside these walls, with all these churches around here in West Butuel and in Louisville, we need each other. To the church that we may not 100% agree with all of their doctrine and theology, we need them. They need us. We are so much better together than we are apart. Being a part of the body of Christ is about unity. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. Starting on the 29th, we're going to kick off a six-week series on the book of Ephesians. And we'll talk a lot about unity in that. But unity is so critical. And it is so missing in our churches, in our culture, in our world today. We need each other. We are better together than apart. We will accomplish more together than alone. We need each other. Not only do we do that to help accomplish things, but we need each other to hold each other up. But be honest, how many of you all in the past 6 months have dealt with something that seemed just so incredibly heavy and emotional and draining, and you just felt to some degree alone in it, or that no one understood that was around you? Easily half the people in here. And I'd probably say there's more, you just didn't raise your hand. Life is messy, and we need each other. As LifePoint Church, we are better together than we are apart. So again, in being the church, the true church, it starts with us. And then we can move this thing outward. We have to be healthy. We have to be on mission individually, and we have to be together. That's why we always talk about doing life. That was part of what the church was about. Right? You have to do life together. Acts chapter 4, verses 34 and 35 says, talking about the church, it says that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale, and put it to the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. This is God's vision for the church, that there'd be no needy people among us, that we would actually do life together, that we would support each other, that we'd lift each other up, that we would encourage each other, we would have each other's back. And this passage is preached on quite a bit. And I've seen incredible examples of churches or community groups or people coming together and actually doing that, selling things or giving money to other families within the church that needed it, that desperately needed it, that were going through a hard time or whatever it may be. We've experienced that, and I think that's something that's talked about in the church a lot, but I venture to say that we need to take this even a step further. And I think this is speaking of a bigger picture. Yes, it's talking about financial, and it's talking about material, and about meeting their material needs. But as humans, we have so many needs. There's so many things that are needed. So what if, as the church, we truly met every need? Every need. Financial, yes. Material, yes. But what about the spiritual needs? Right? Hopefully we're doing that here. What about people's emotional needs? Their mental health needs? Their physical needs? Their psychological needs? What if they need encouragement? Are we willing to encourage? Like, for real encourage? Not just, hey, I'm praying for you. Keep it moving. Forget about it. You don't really pray for them. Or you walk away and say, okay, God, pray for this, blah, blah, so I don't forget, blah, blah, and go on. What if we really encouraged? What if people needed friendship? Needed connection? What if they were in need of parenting help? Parenting advice? What if they were in need of correction? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to lovingly correct each other? Call each other out on their stuff? What if we met every single need in the church? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what being the church is about. Because we are better together. We have to lift each other up. We have to hold each other accountable. And we have to be the hope for each other when we have lost hope. And you may be in a good spot now, but again, I know sometimes I don't say the most encouraging things, but the bottom's going to fall out at some point in time. Because that's the fallen world we live in. So when you're on that high, when things are going smooth, you have to be loving other people. You have to be encouraging other people. You have to be holding them up when they need it, because you're going to need it as well. And we encourage and we lift each other up so that we can then go make a difference in the world. Because if we're a mess, that's all that we're going to offer. It's hard to reflect the light of Jesus when we are a mess and living however we want to live, doing our own thing, or just an emotional wreck because of whatever may be going on, or the hurt or the pain that we're dealing with inside. It's hard for us to go be Jesus if we're not encouraged and we're not uplifted. And yes, God is our hope and he can do that. But I've said it time and time again that God uses his people to help each other. That's part of being the church, that there were no needy people among them. That's part of his design. That's a part of his plan. We are relational beings and he is the ultimate hope. He is the ultimate help, but he also gives us each other. So you are required by God to act, not to just to sit, but to act and to love, to encourage, to come crashing into someone's life with hope. So as Life Point Church, we're going to be all things to all people, right? We're going to accomplish more together than apart. And the third thing that we will do, especially if we're doing these things and we're on mission, is that we'll make a difference. We will make a difference. Not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. Not because of what we can do in our own power, but in his power. And definitely not for our own glory, but for his glory. When we are operating individually and collectively as the church that God designed, not the American church, please not the American church, but the church, the mission and the vision is designed by God himself. When we do that, we will make a difference. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 3. Starting in verse 20, he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen." To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power. See, when we are operating in his mission, in his vision, and we are being the church, and we are keeping our eyes fixed on him, and we're walking in stride with him, and living for him, you will, and the church will make a difference in the lives of the people around you. And they long for that. I'm telling you, people that don't know Christ, whether they will say, probably won't say it like this, but they are longing for hope. They're longing for something. And they may not realize it, but that something is Jesus. And the sad part about it is as Christians, we have done so much damage that people have just totally pushed that off to the side. They've pushed God off to the side, and they don't want anything to do with it because they've seen all the junk in the news of pastors doing this and that, or they've experienced it. It's a miracle that I sit up here today because I've experienced so much hate and shame and rejection from Christians for the stupidest things. I'm not perfect, but I've honestly lived a pretty fairly clean life. I've not done a bunch of crazy things. Yet I've experienced extreme rejection and hate by the hands of Christians. That's why people don't want anything to do with us at times. But that does not change the fact that they need hope, that they long for something more, that there's a void in their life and they know it. They just may not know what actually fills it. And they're trying to fill it with all kinds of different things. But Jesus is it. He's the only thing that can fill that void. And God has called us. He's called you to be his messenger of that truth, of that hope, of the gospel. Doesn't matter how he designed you and what specific thing he's created you to do. Sharing and living the gospel is at the center of it. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're an artist, whether you're an engineer, whether you're a custodian, whether you're a pastor, whether you're whatever. A barista, thank you for the baristas. You are close to God as possible. It doesn't matter what you're uniquely gifted to do in this world. Your mission is to be the church. Your mission is to be the hope for the hopeless. And when we do that, we will make a difference. But it takes risk. It takes you first being connected to Jesus. It takes you keeping your eyes fixed on him, staying connected to the vine, growing and maturing spiritually. And you bring other people along and you encourage them. And as LifePoint Church, we encourage each other and we hold each other up. And when we know someone in our congregation is being authentic and real enough to say, you know what, I'm struggling with suicidal thoughts. We don't be like, ugh, what do I do with that? No, we just go put our arms around them. We hug them. What can I do? Let's spend some time together. Here's my number. Call me at any point in time. Here's where you can get help. I love you. You know what? I went through the same thing, or whatever it may be. We've got to create that kind of environment. We've got to create that kind of space. It's needed. And you see, when we can do that as a church family, it's infectious. And then it starts to spread outside of these walls, and then we begin to reach people. Experienced it. There are other people. So be free. And most importantly, there's hope. There's hope in Christ, and there's hope with his people. So let's be on mission. You have to decide as an individual, one, whether or not you're going to connect with Jesus. And once you do, you have to be committed to being in the church, because that's your calling. To be all things to all people, to understand that we're better together than alone, and that we will make a difference. So commit to that as an individual, because we are committing to that as a church, and we will make a difference. We'll do that together. Let's pray. God, we come to you just thankful. Thankful for your love. Thankful for your grace. Thankful for your mercy. God, we're thankful for the fact that we're not alone in this wild and crazy life, full of ups and downs, darkness and light. We're so thankful, God, that we're not alone. That you're there with us every step of the way. And that we're also, as your people, as your church, we're here for each other. God, I know there's a lot that we deal with in this life, and you know that. There's hurt, there's pain, there's things we don't understand. And it can be so heavy. God, I pray for anyone right now. God, I pray that you would speak and comfort and love those that are dealing with some really, really heavy mess right now. Whatever it may be. God, I pray in this moment that they would feel your presence. They would feel your love. They would feel your peace and your joy like never before. God, I pray that if there's those here that don't know you as Savior, Lord, that they would be willing and bold enough to begin to check out your claims and who you are and how much you love them, and they would be willing to open themselves up to that. Allow you to change their life forever. We'll do things a little different this morning. I don't know what each of you are going through right now. I just know that life's tough. I know that it's heavy. And I want you to know that you're not alone. So as the team starts to play here in a second, I just want you to spend some time in prayer. Maybe there's someone here that you know and you love and that you trust, and you need to slide over to them and just say, "Will you pray with me?" That's allowed. It's okay. Maybe God's impressing upon your heart to go sit by somebody and put your arm around them and just tell them you love them and to pray for them. Maybe you want to come forward. You're free to do that. I'm not saying that you have to. There's nothing special or magical about the front of a church building. But if you feel led to do that, you can. You can turn around your seat. You can kneel down. You can sit right there by yourself. But whatever God is leading you to do in this moment, I want you to truly be sensitive to that and spend time with him. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, or you think I don't know, maybe I do, maybe I don't, and you want to talk to somebody, you can come talk to me. I'll be up here. You can talk to me after the service. I'll hang around as long as needed. If you want me to pray with you or someone else to pray with you after the service, we'll be here for that as well. I promise you, this is a safe place. It's a safe place to share your hurt. Share whatever's going on in your mind. You're not alone, and please do not walk it alone. So I'm just going to open it up. You can pray there. You can move around as needed, and then we'll close in prayer here in a little bit. So I'm going to let Jared and the team play. Don't feel pressured to do anything. You just do what God's leading you to do.